Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We'll celebrate Mother's Day. Amen. There's one thing that we can be sure of this morning, that everybody here has a mother. Amen. That's not what we're going to preach about this morning. We are going to preach about mothers, and we're going to preach with the help of the Lord the worth of mothers. What's a mother worth? What is their value? And I did a little seeking on this and searching on this and found some things. And it was not by coincidence that, you know, the Lord had given me this message some time ago, probably 2 or 3 months ago. And then about a week or so ago, I was on the internet at work, and I saw a little study that had been done about the worth of mothers, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But if you would turn with me to Proverbs, the 31st chapter, we're going to read one verse there. It'd be verse 10. Then we're going to go from there to 2 John, the 1st chapter. So this study, it was a study that was done by NBC11.com, and it was basically done on what's the worth of a stay-at-home mom. And I don't want to distort the wealth of a mother that works too, because I believe that they're very important too. But the study was basically done on a stay-at-home mom. And it says that the study shows that stay-at-home moms are worth more than $100,000 a year. And the way that they came to that conclusion was they went through some different jobs that a mother actually does through the course of her day to find out what they pay normally. So I put a little humor into this, and I put it in the context of a MasterCard commercial. So here we go. So a launderer makes somewhere in the neighborhood of $16,000 a year. A maid makes somewhere in the neighborhood of $15,000 a year. A cook somewhere in the neighborhood of $25,000 a year. A nanny somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 a year. Taxi driver and chauffeur about $20,000 a year. Counselor anywhere from $45,000 to $60,000 a year. But a godly mother is priceless. Amen. Godly mother sure is. And I'm sure that each and every one of you mothers can relate to everything that I just read, because every one of you have been all those things for the life of your children and will continue to be for the life of your children. Especially the counselor part. All right. And that's a good thing. So in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, verse 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" You may be seated. That was fun. A good mother is worth more than anything that this world has to hold. Their examples, the things that they do, the sacrifices that they make are worth more than anything that this world can hold. And I want to focus this morning on the example part, because I believe it's very important. I believe it's very important that as a mother, you set the example for your children. There's a lot of children today that don't have a good example. They don't have that godly nurturing. And the Bible tells us clearly to raise a child in the way that it should go. Now, you men, the fathers this morning, are going to get a plea bargain this morning. You're going to escape some of the wrath this morning, but that's all right, because I'll get y'all on Father's Day. But this morning, I want us to understand the importance of being an example, because I'll tell you that there's more to it than just saying, do this. do that. There's more to it than just saying, do this because I said so. It's about being an example. It's about living what you're telling. It's about doing what you're teaching and being what you're instructing them to be. Come on now. That's what it's about. It's about being an example. Now, I could tell every one of us this morning that we are supposed to be an example. Right? Each and every one of us are supposed to be. But this morning, the Lord wants us to focus on the mothers. I know y'all already upset with me. You say, well, Brother Rob, I've been coming. You've been the pastor here for almost 3 years. And every time you preach on Mother's Day, you're always lifting us up. And you're always glorifying us. Well, I, in a sense, I still am. But I can't negate what God has given me to preach to you this morning. And to share with you this morning, and to give you the instruction and the wisdom that God has for you this morning of how important it is to be a good godly example. To live it. Right? So that your children will see it. So that your grandchildren will see it. And obviously, there's some people here that are. Because if you look around here, there's some families here this morning that have more than one generation with them. Right? So there's some people here that are an example, right? And I want you to understand this morning that we need to continue to be that example. Because see, there's no time in our life where we can stop being the example and say, okay, I've done my part. I was a mother, now I'm done. No, because if you're a grandmother, you're just getting started again. And if you're a great-grandmother, you're just getting started again, right? So there's no time, there's never a time when you get to be able to stop being the example, right? Okay, I got a couple of y'all on my side this morning. So in 2 John, the first chapter, we're going to read, I believe, verses 1 through 13. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So he's talking here about being an example. He said, I found that your children are doing the commandments of God. They're walking uprightly before God. They're doing the things that God would want them to do. They're living a life that God is pleased with, that God has found acceptable. And he's saying it's because you've been the example and continue to be the example. We can't just give up and stop. I will tell you this morning, and I share with you a story about Dr. James Dobson. He was telling a story one time about his wife was having a real bad day, and said that their son Ryan was just a child at the time, and he was sick. And I don't want to gross y'all out this morning, but I have to tell the story the way that the story was told. He was sick, and she was changing his diaper, and the phone rang. She reached over to the answer the phone, and he had an attack of diarrhea. And it was just all over the place. And so she cleans him up. I know just try to bear with me, church. So she gets him all cleaned up and gets some sweet-smelling clothes on him, and everything's fine, and she feeds him, and she goes to burp him, and he gets sick. And it's all over her, it's all over him, it's all over the couch. And Dr. James Dobson comes home, and he said as he walked in the door, he smelt the aroma of motherhood. And said that as soon as he closed the door, her reply was all this in my contract? Well, it wasn't in the contract to be a mother, but when you became a mother, you took on a commitment. You took on a contract with God to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's a contract that you took on. Yes, you didn't sign anything. You didn't shake somebody's hand. But it's just something that you need to accept and that you need to take on, especially if you want your children to grow and to be good, godly children. You know, we can't send them to Sunday school by ourselves and say, go learn how to be a child of God. We can't impress upon them the importance of going to Sunday school and vacation Bible school and us not be the example. It's imperative that you're an example to them. That you show them the importance of going to church. That you show them the importance of learning the statutes and the commandments of God. That you don't take it lightly. Because they're watching you. Right? And you can't negate that responsibility to somebody else and say, it's the church's responsibility to raise my children in the way that God wants them to go. No, it's your responsibility to bring them, to be here with them, because they're going to ask questions. And it would be a shame for them to come home and ask you questions about the Bible that you can't answer yourself. All right? So we have to be that example. We have to lead by an example, not just telling them that they're responsible to do this or they're responsible to do that. Turn with us as you would to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. We'll read verses 1 through 12 there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul just loved Timothy, didn't he? He kind of looked to him as a son. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. So see, Timothy had some examples, didn't he? It had to start somewhere. And it continued. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. I said I'd read 12, didn't I? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Lois and Eunice were examples to him. They taught Timothy how to live. They taught Timothy how to walk. They taught him how to be a man of God. They raised him up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They instructed him the importance of God and the importance of church. See, what we have today is we have a lot of people teaching their kids that self-satisfaction is more important than God. I don't know if that's even a word. But we're teaching our children, satisfy the flesh. Right? Because that's more important. Satisfy the flesh. You know, if you've got homework to do and you're piled up with homework, just stay home and do your homework. Don't worry about going to church. It's going to get a little rough here now. But y'all just have to bear with me because this is what God said to preach. You know, if you've got something else going on, you know, it's all right. Just stay home. Go do your thing. It's not that important. But I tell you that it is important. It is important. It's important that you attend the house of God on a regular basis. It's important that we teach our kids and we instruct our kids and we show them by example that importance. That it is very important to be here. That it is very important to support the church. But more importantly, it's important that we come so that we can learn as very much as possible about God and about what His will is in our life and about what He has established for us, because He's going to give us what He's committed to us. But we have to commit some things to Him. See, we didn't sign a contract with Him. But we made some agreements with Him. Because I'm sure everybody here, when you got saved, and if you're not saved, I hope you get saved before you leave here today. But I'm sure everybody here that is saved made some commitments to Him when you got saved. Made some promises to Him when you got saved. You probably said something similar to this. And I'll just tell you what I said. I said, God, if You'll save me from the depths of sin that I'm living in today, if you'll forgive me for the things, the transgressions that I have brought before You, if You will take me out of the alcoholism and the drug addiction that I live in today, God, I'll serve You to the very best of my ability. I'll do everything that I can for You, God. I'll be in church every opportunity that I get to be in church. I made some commitments to Him. I made some promises to Him. Haven't we all? Didn't we all? Right? I can tell you this morning, there have been times in my life that I failed Him. All right? And I don't say that this morning to give you a scapegoat and tell you that it's okay to fail Him, but I tell you that this morning to help you to understand that when you do fail Him, to realize and understand the Bible says that when you've realized that you have sinned, to fail not to have an advocate with the Father. He's there for us to forgive us of our sins, to forgive us of our transgressions, and to help us to get back on the right track. Get back to where we need to be. Right? Now, you're probably sitting here this morning and you're saying, are you telling me, Brother Rob, that if I don't go to church, but I do send my kids to church, that they'll never be saved? No. Are you telling me, Brother Rob, that if I go to church every day, every time the doors are open, that my children will never do anything wrong? No. But I am telling you this, that if you'll raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, your chances are a whole lot better. All right? Now, the Bible declares that if we'll raise them in the house of God, if we'll raise them the right way, that they'll not depart from it when they are old. And you say, well, how come some kids do? When they get older, they rebel. They turn their back on God. Same reason we do. Same reason we do. It's because they satisfy the flesh, just as we do at times. We satisfy the flesh. Right? But what's important to understand is everything that we have taught them all their life is still with them. The teaching is there. They know the right way. You've instructed them the right way. I want you to understand something this morning. All we can do is teach them. We can't make them. We can't force them to do what we want them to do. All we can do is teach them and give them the tools that they need to succeed. After that, it's their choice. It's their choice. They'll have to decide. But their chances are far better if we'll give them what they need. If we'll help them to understand the importance of being a godly woman or a godly man. If we'll help them to understand the importance of the Word of God. If we'll help them to understand the importance of coming to church and learning everything that we can get. See, that's what I want. I want to be able to get as much as I can about God. I want to be able to get as much as I can from God. Not riches or glory or fame, but wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that I can keep myself from failing the next time. I'm equipping myself. Every time that I come to the house of God, I'm equipping myself for the next battle that I'm going to have to face. And you can't fool yourself this morning and tell yourself that you're not going to face battles, because every one of us will. Every one of us do. On a regular basis, it is a constant battle to keep ourselves from sin. Why? Because this flesh desires sinful nature. This flesh desires to do ungodly things. And we have to do everything that we can to keep the flesh under subjection. And to increase our spiritual man and decrease our fleshly man. Not the other way around. We've got to be the example. It's sad to say today that a lot of children are being the example for the parents, instead of the parents being the example for the children. I know a lot of children today that go to church that their parents just don't go. Right? I know a lot of children that want to go to church and their parents are just too ornery and lazy to take them. Right? Boy, that struck a nerve somewhere. But it's the truth. It's the truth. And I only say it to help. I don't say it to put anybody down, but I say it to help you. So that we can get into a place where we need to be. Right? What kind of pastor, what kind of minister would I be if God told me that something was awry in your life and I let you continue in that? Or let's just put it where it is. Let's just say, if God tells me and instructs me that there's sin in your life and I allow you to continue in sin, I'm not much of a minister, am I? I mean, if I was your doctor and I knew that you had a sickness, you'd want me to tell you, wouldn't you? All right? You wouldn't come to me and pay me a bunch of money, and y'all don't pay me a bunch of money, but if I was a doctor, y'all pay me a bunch of money. But you wouldn't come to me and pay me thousands and thousands of dollars for me to tell you, well, you know, sickness is sickness. Just go on and do whatever. If you were sick and you came and you paid me thousands of dollars, you'd want to know what was wrong, right? Right? And I'd be obligated to tell you. Well, same thing. I'm obligated to tell you when you're sick. And when you're sin sick, there's no worse sickness. There's no worse sickness. But there is a cure. Praise God. There is a cure. His name's Jesus. You can't go down to the pharmacy and buy him. Alright? You can't go to Kroger's and get him. He's not sold over the counter. He's not sold behind the counter. But he's free to all who will. Amen? So all you got to do is come and ask him. And he'll save your soul. That's good news this morning. That's real good news this morning. Before we close this morning, I've been in some communications with a young lady who got our website from somebody and has been visiting our website quite frequently. And I might say that she enjoys it greatly. And she sent me this and asked that I would read it to all the mothers this morning. So I told her I would be honored to and would be obliged to read it. So I wanted to share it with you this morning. It starts off, it says, Mother. It says, for those lucky to still be blessed with your mom, this is beautiful. For those of us who aren't, this is even more beautiful. For those who are moms, you'll love this. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is this the long way? She asked. And the guide said, yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it. But the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in the clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then the night came and the storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold, and the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, Mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary. And the mother was weary, but at all times she said to the children, a little patience, and we are there. So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, Mother, we would not have done it without you. And the mother, when she lay down at night, looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I've given them strength. And the next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil, and the children groped and stumbled. And the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. And it guided them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God.
And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was as light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone and their children after them. And the children said, you will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates. And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, we cannot see her, but she is with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. Your mother is always with you. She's the whisper of the leaves as you walk down the street. She's the smell of the bleach in your freshly laundered socks. She's the cool hand on your brow when you're not well. Your mother lives inside your laughter. And she's crystallized in every teardrop. She's the place you came from, your first home, and she's the map you follow with every step you take. She's your first love and your first heartbreak, and nothing on earth can separate you, not time, not space, not even death. The importance of being an example. That was sent by Kimberly Edwards, which is Kay Ratchford's daughter, lives in Texas. But the importance of being an example, I can't express to you this morning the worth of a godly mother, the wealth of her knowledge and her teaching and her instruction. I can't communicate with you with words this morning how important it is to be a good godly example to your children, to lead them and to direct them in the paths of righteousness. Because it's important to understand this morning that each and every one of us are going to die. Each and every one of us. There's nobody here this morning under the sound of my voice that's not going to die. And it's important to understand and to realize that there's a judgment day that's coming. And if we don't teach them, church, if we don't teach them, they're going to face an awful judgment. I thought about this morning, how awful would it be to stand before the judgment and hear the Master say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And to hear a child cry out, mother, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you teach me? Why didn't you instruct me? Why didn't you let me know that this was what was going to happen? That this would be the penalty for my sin? It's important, church. It's important, mothers, to teach them, to raise them, to instruct them in the admonition of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer this morning.